Welcome to the Ask Brian Podcast Radio Show, where you'll hear from some of the most successful founders and CEOs of businesses and startups, sharing their best advice for success and even some stories on how their mistakes actually make them even more successful. Now, here are your hosts, Brian and Tracy.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to the Ask Brian Radio Show on KHS 1220 and 98.1 FM. Well, every week for over 7 years, since January of 2017, a long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, but no, we're not Star Trek. The start of the show, Ask Brian, A-S-K-B-R-I-E-N, and each week we try to talk to a business owner, an entrepreneur, or somebody that can teach business owners or entrepreneurs something about business. We do that every week, Thursdays, 1 to 2 p.m. PST. Of course, if you're on a podcast, you can listen to it anytime. But we have our, and I know she likes this, our resident expert in ease. Why? Do we spell Brian with an E?
Oh, my God. Just give me the expert title anywhere you can. I'll take it, you know, because that's all about my ego, right?
Another E.
another E that we have to fight for space for in this studio with these egos, but that's okay.
I'm the only one that doesn't have an ego in the studio.
Okay.
You know who has the most humility in the room and should have the biggest ego in the room is our engineer.
Me.
And just for the record, audience, that cloud here was for Jen, not for Peter.
Thank you. And I also, I'm told by Peter that I have to push that button. So otherwise, I would not be clapping for myself. I leave the ego department to Peter. So,
yes,
Peter, excuse me, the resident expert. What about the resident expert?
Yes. Yeah. You got one.
Resident expert.
I have yet to applaud.
I can't fit the head through the door.
I have yet to applaud for Peter. I've got one for Tracy, one for myself. I don't know. I might be out of applause and yays at this point.
What about the buzzer? You don't have the buzzer going.
I do.
Yeah, she saved that for you.
Yeah.
So, but here's the thing, Jen. Once again, the estrogen will rule on this episode we have an amazing guest whose ego is also very much in check compared to the expertise that she brings to the show. So we'll learn more about that later.
However, speaking
of experts, we love to have all kinds of experts on the Ask Brian Radio Show. And typically an expert is defined by engaging in their business service industry with a minimum of 10,000 hours, which is, if you do the math on it, you know, my favorite subject, is to take that 50 or so weeks a year, 40 hours a week, times it by five, you get to that on or around 10,000. But we know for sure that any startup founder, anybody who's kicking off and running a new business is investing way more than 40 hours a week. I happen to know firsthand that our expert today has well over 10,000 hours in her, not just her primary industry, but her secondary area of expertise as well, which we will get into. And that just makes a really good level of education for our listeners. We are here to serve you, to shortcut your learning curve, and we can only do that by bringing you the experts that we bring and providing you the education that we try to present when we're trying to get around our own sense of humor about everything. But if you filter through us and get to the experts, you get some exceptional information. And for that, we are very enthusiastic about, right, Peter?
And what else? Excited!
And I just want to express empathy, not only for our engineer and our guest, but for also for our audience, for his excited outburst.
And what is empathy?
Exactly my point. So
narcissism rules.
I just, you know, I just can't with you today.
I'm going to kill his mic. Is that okay, Tracy?
Yeah. Is that C-I-L-L or K-I-L-L?
You can take over, Tracy.
You know, if only. Okay, so with that being said, let's talk about my favorite E, and then let's bring out our expert.
Well, I hope you got everyone, but anyway, because we do have a show to do.
Yes.
Okay. Tracy's very, very enthusiastic and has a lot of enthusiasm and excitement for her favorite actress who passed away, and she was in Grease. And what was the sound that they said after they would say, "Grease lightning is
electrifying, and so are we."
All right. So we do have a guest today, and don't get confused, but our engineer's name is Jen. Our guest name is Jen. So, you know, it's kind of like Generation 2. It's not the Generation G. It's a J, Jen. All right. So that's going to be really confusing. All right. But our guest today is Jen. And are you there?
I am here. Hi.
Well, you survived the first part because half the people just leave after that. But that's okay. You made it. Where's the clap?
She survived. She stuck around. All right, there we go.
I love it.
She gets
a
credit for staying around.
The wind.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't laugh on this show at all, ever. So the first question we have is, people don't know you, so we want to get a little introduction. So I know you have this company. Before we get into the company that you have and that you're working at, we want to know a little bit of background. So just, you know, we don't need to go to grade school or whatever, but if you can tell us a little bit about your background before you started this company, and then we can get right into the company.
Yeah, I'm Jen Trepik. My background's in business and marketing. I went to the business school at the University of Michigan and moved to New York after that. Worked in marketing and advertising, then in hedge funds, and started my business on the side while working full-time in hedge funds. Fast forward, left full-time job land July of 2019. That's when I launched my podcast, Salad with a Side of Fries. And the rest, as they say, is history, but that side hustle was a health coaching practice. So in my business, Salad with a Side of Fries, I offer health coaching, supplementation, also the podcast and other products and services to help people reclaim control of their health and well-being.
Now, you said that you had a marketing business development and then you went to work at the hedge fund. So were you doing marketing business development at the hedge fund or were you doing something?
No.
Okay.
No. I worked on the administrative end. So I did everything from office manager, chief of staff, personal assistant, executive assistant, state manager. You know, I ran the lives of some of New York City's billionaires. Learned a lot.
Now, you know that I'm from New York, correct? Or did they not tell you?
I did not.
Well, I grew up in Long Island.
Where in Long Island?
Rosslyn.
Oh, I know Rosslyn.
Exactly. My father's place and all that other stuff. So, and don't forget the duck pound. So anyway, the question is, how do you go from working at a hedge fund in the operations area or administrative area into food?
Well, we all eat food, right? No.
No, I don't eat food. That's why I weigh 250 and 3'5". Yeah.
Right. So my practice really came out of sort of two worlds colliding. One was my own personal, I call it a saga, of trying to figure out my weight and my health. And the other side was recognizing very early on after graduating from undergrad that I could not or would not work for somebody else for the rest of my life. So I was looking for things to do outside of my full-time job with the intention of just taking that money and investing it, being able to retire early. And then everything I thought of to do sounded totally miserable. So I was like, okay, this isn't going to work. But in that process of looking for things to do outside of my full-time job and figuring out my own weight and health, I learned about the curriculum that I've based my entire practice on. And I call it the nutrition education we're all supposed to know and no one ever taught us. And I really felt like learning it completely changed my life, like the only thing that allowed me to say I kicked my food issues. And I was like, everybody deserves this. And why isn't this what we learned? And I became an insatiable student. And I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do on the side, outside of my full-time job, to eventually be able to work for myself. And I built my practice on the side for 12 years before leaving a full-time job and being my own boss.
Well, I think everybody likes to be their own boss because they make their own decisions, they take off their time, and they can do their own thing. But it obviously, right. You're correct. I mean, the first years are usually the lean years, you know? You're working somewhere and you've got, at least you got the paycheck coming in every week. When you start off on your own, it's like, when am I going to get paid? And, you know, how am I going to pay my bills? Now, you might have some savings and that can help you, or you may be, you know, you may have a spouse or somebody else that can help you. But typically, that's the biggest quandary that entrepreneurs have is, okay, I want to do this, but I'm afraid. How am I going to, you know, how am I going to keep the lights on in my house? So how did you handle those issues?
Well, so side hustles are magical things for that reason, right? I think there are a lot of people out there who poo the side hustle. But I think for exactly your point, it eliminates that desperation. And I know there's a lot of people who think, oh, well, I work best under pressure. And I think there's a difference between pressure and desperation, right? And so if it's, I have no idea how I'm going to eat, or, you know, if I'm going to be able to pay my mortgage or pay rent or whatever it is, right? That's a different level. And I, from experience and belief, I think there is nothing less powerful than desperation. So the side hustle for 12 years allowed me to focus on it. And also it was in my back pocket at times, right? It's just sort of the reality that things get busy, or, you know, our energy can go in the direction of the higher paycheck. So when I was taking that leap, I had set myself up to ensure that I wasn't going to experience that desperation. So I had a runway of probably about 9 months
that's a good time.
Knew that just because I had full-time hours wasn't going to instantly turn it into full-time income, but I gave myself that runway. I had no idea the pandemic was coming, but you know, that 9 months allowed me to not experience that desperation. And I think for everybody, figuring out what that is, you know, how many months you want as your runway.
And your business, salad and fries, is that it?
Yep, it's salad with a side of fries.
Salad with a side of fries. Usually it's fries with a side of salad. But okay. Now,
well,
right. You know, as long as I get my Happy Meal, I'm fine.
Right.
Now, question is, so, well, first, how did you come up with the name? Because you did tell me that it was trademarked. So I'd like to know how you came up with that name.
It is trademarked. So first of all, it is what I order all of the time. And that's how it came up. So actually, you know, the LLC that I started in 2007 was not Salad with a Side of Fries. Salad with a Side of Fries was developed as the name for the podcast in 2019. And I've ultimately rebranded everything under Salad with a Side of Fries. So I was working with somebody to launch my podcast, and he and I were talking about the name of the show. And I was thinking like French fries and cookie dough, because they are two things that I will never give up. And he was like, yeah, except it doesn't really tell somebody what they're going to get when they listen. And I was like, okay, fair point. And so we were talking. I was like, all right, I'll keep thinking about it. Our meeting was ending. We were going our separate ways. He said, where are you headed? I said, oh, I'm going to go get something to eat. He said, what are you going to have? And I said, probably salad with a side of fries. And he was like, hello. And I was like, yep, okay, let's do it.
Well, it sounds like a lot of carbs when I think cookie dough and fries. But so obviously you weren't giving up any carbs. And so obviously it's not a keto diet. Now, you come up with this name. Now, what was the name prior to that that you had from 2007 through 2019 and got the podcast going?
So Better Life Now is my LLC.
Now, is your podcast, are you the only person on the podcast? Or do you have other people with you?
So it's half and half. Well, there's always other people with me. So half of the episodes are interviews with other experts. Half of the episodes are what I call sort of my content, or things I talk about with my clients all the time. And on those, I have somebody with me. Sometimes it's a friend, sometimes it's a client, sometimes it's a colleague, sometimes I've had a lot of podcast listeners join me on those. And that allows it to continue to be a dialogue, but also, you know, that person then asks the questions that you're probably thinking as you're listening. So when I created Salad with a Side of Fries, the podcast, it was a bit of taking the things that I enjoyed from podcasts that I listened to and putting those elements into the nutrition and wellness category of podcasts.
Okay. So the next question I have is, you have this name, you have this thing. How do you make money off of a podcast? I mean, that's not exactly, unless you're going to run ads.
Right. So monetization of a podcast is tremendous conversation. You know, fundamentally, I think of the podcast in terms of the bigger ecosystem of marketing my business. And I will say to people, there are more economical, both in terms of time and money, marketing strategies for a business than podcasting. And yet, for me, it is a perfect medium. So it really fits into the greater scheme of things. So for monetization, certainly it funnels people into my ecosystem and eventually leads to coaching and supplementation clients and customers. I also have a membership for the podcast. So for $10 a month, people get weekly recipes, monthly articles, tools, extra resources, extra discounts from me and my partners and sometimes podcast guests, and then a quarterly live Q&A. So we get to dialogue with the members. So the membership is a way to support the show, support the community that we're building, but truly it supports you, your listener, right, in your health and dips the toe in the water of a little bit more than just passive listening to a podcast. And then fast forward, I also launched merch for the podcast. So everything from water bottle and yoga mat and, you know, tank tops and t-shirts, sweatshirts, leggings, you know, even kitchen gear. There's a cutting board, there's, you know, an oven mitt, that kind of stuff. So keep it fun.
Now, is it just you or do you have other people in your company?
So I am the only full-time employee. I have a handful of 1099 team members supporting on social media, PR. And then I also have grown the show to the point where I outsource all of my post-production.
So you mentioned all this about the food and the recipes and the name of your company. And I haven't heard anything where you said that you have a nutritional license or nutritional certification and you're the only company. So how do you provide nutritional information and advice? Do you have a dietitian that you work with, a nutritionist that you work with, or how do you create that?
Great question. So I work with menu plans that are through, I mentioned the curriculum that I base my practice on. So that curriculum that I work with is a little bit of a franchise model, but then as a function of being an insatiable student and going to every course and workshop that I could get my hands on, reading every book, the things that I attend if I were a health professional would be continuing medical education credit. But since I'm not, they don't count. It's just back to that ego, I think, right? So I add to it with behavior change and coaching practices and thought processes and experience that I've learned from a variety of resources. And of course, my own life experience and that of my clients for the last almost 20 years.
So do you practice what you preach? Do you use your menus yourself or how does that work?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and at different times in life, I am more intense on some of those choices than others, but I live in a land of the gray area between black and white, right? That consistency piece where, you know, we enjoy life. I'm a total foodie and, you know, we can have our health too.
Tracy, you had some questions you want to ask Jen. You said, like, Peter, you're taking all the time. So go ahead.
No, well, what I actually really said is you stole all my questions, but not technically, because as we all know that I like to pivot, I am going to steer us into the direction of really being able to tap into your expertise, Jen, around the whole lifestyle component of health and nutrition. One of my favorite things about you is that you believe in everything in moderation. And I think that the challenge with entrepreneurs, especially who's our primary audience here on the Ask Brian Radio Show, is that we don't understand moderation in any areas of our lives. So how does one integrate a good health and nutrition plan into an entrepreneurial chaotic routine?
Agreed. So first of all, it's not just for the entrepreneurs. I mean, everybody. I say that because even when I was working in hedge funds, I ate out 3 meals a day for over a decade. So I say that to reinforce that it is 100% possible. And I believe that part of meal prep is learning how to read a menu. So on any menu,
that is not, this is why we are friends, by the way.
Right.
This is why we are friends.
So, you know, speaking of menus and eating out and still eating for nutrition, fundamentally, what I say for everybody is protein and fiber at every meal makes removing fat no big deal. Protein and fiber at every meal makes removing fat no big deal. So protein is clean, lean protein. I don't care. Eat what you eat, eat what you like, don't eat what you don't like. Fiber is vegetables and sometimes fruit. And then a meal is really any time we eat. The difference between a meal and a snack is how long it lasts us, right? So how much food we have at a time, and then therefore how long it lasts us. The other thing that you want every day, a couple times a day, is some quality fat. And one day I will figure out how to get the fat thing into the sentence. But, so protein and fiber, right? Clean, lean protein and vegetables. You can find that at Chipotle. You can find that at the diner. You can find that at the Chinese place, right? I get a steam platter from the Chinese place, and then I can do a little bit of a sauce that I want or whatever. There are options everywhere. It's about looking at the menu a little bit differently. So protein and vegetables, you can find that. You know, if you're running around and you have to stop somewhere, one of the things that I also remind everybody is almost as much as we can find a restaurant, right, or a fast food place, there are usually also grocery stores just as close. And these days in almost every grocery store, there are tons of prepared foods and already cut up vegetables and things like that. So we can even expand what we think of as food available to us when we're running around and on the go and don't have time to necessarily have groceries or prepare something ourselves.
Okay, so I'm not trying to be argumentative here.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Well, no, I'm not, because that's your role usually, Peter. But it's more of a counterpoint question. And that is how, okay, because I'm a big fan of eating out, and I'm a foodie, and I am all about convenience. But I've always heard, and you're a great MythBuster, so I've always heard that you just don't know what's in things that if you're not preparing them. So how do you,
great
even
question.
If you know how to read the menu, there's like all these hidden sugars and fats and chemicals and preservatives. And so how do you navigate around that if that's your primary eating journey?
Yeah, great question. Fundamentally, in choosing to eat out versus making food ourselves, we are going to be making some concessions, right? We have to pick our battles. So if the battle that we're picking is that I am not preparing things myself, then we're choosing the restaurant. So sure, is my omelet from the diner going to have more oil or butter than if I made it myself? Yes. So, okay, mental note, there's some fat in there that I probably didn't realize I had, right? But my egg white vegetable omelet, maybe then I'm choosing carrots and tomato slices instead of the potatoes, and maybe I'm not eating the toast, right? And I'm balancing my choices and picking my battles. I wouldn't choose, right, there certainly, as we're looking at menus, there certainly we want to avoid the fried foods. I know I say that even though I love French fries, right? We want to choose those things more on the occasion than the rule. So one of the things that I talk about with my clients is thinking about, am I eating out because this is an at-home meal replacement? Or am I eating out because it's an occasion and this is sort of an event? If we're choosing our primary source of food as eating out because we don't have groceries, then most of the time I'm choosing an at-home meal replacement, which means I'm looking at the menu for something that is as close to something I might make for myself. Can I get a piece of fish with some vegetables, right? Can I get, you know, a lot of times making a meal of appetizers and sides. So I was at a steakhouse the other day. I had protein from an appetizer and then a couple vegetable sides, and it was delicious and I was super satisfied, and we call it a day, right? So protein, vegetables, yes, you're going to get that fat in there. You know, we're going to pick our battles. Sure. Was there probably, you know, salt and sugar and some of these things in there that I wouldn't have in there if I was making it for myself? Yes. But in this moment, that's the choice. That's the give and take that I'm willing to make. for some people, they're not willing to make that, but then they're choosing different things and they're having groceries or ready to eat things in their house. Or stopping at the grocery store when they're out and about looking for the cut up vegetables and the hard boiled eggs at the grocery store.
Okay, fair. I think that's fair. I love that. I feel heard and validated. Thank you very much for that. And so, Jen, when all the businesses that you have been successful in, I also have a little bit of insight because our listeners know that I am a podcast expert and I own a company called Producer Podcast. And yes, we do have the pleasure of producing the Salad with a Side of Fries podcast. Shameless plug, I know, but I had to get it in. But what our listeners don't know about us is that we are actually also co-founders and both venturing into the nonprofit scenario for the Industry Trade Association for Podcast Service Professionals. And that's a mouthful, I know, but the name of the organization is Podcast Professionals Association. So I wanted to just share with us, first of all, why you were interested in being the co-founder of an industry trade organization. How does that fit into your other businesses? And how do you feel about the whole nonprofit versus for-profit business model?
All right. Let's see.
That's a five-part question. Third syllable. Okay, go.
Right, exactly.
Sounds like, feels like.
Exactly. I might need a reminder in there. So first of all, so I launched my podcast, Salad with a Side of Fries, in 2019. And over the course of growing that show and, Tracy, our relationship, you and I together have done a lot of podcast coaching and consulting, working with both people who are launching a show and looking to grow their show. So I really jumped into this industry with both feet at the beginning. And it's an interesting time. When I was studying marketing over 20 years ago, it was like the beginning of online advertising. And at the time, people were like, you know, do we pay-per-click? Do we pay-per-impression? Right? Where are we? How do we make sense of all of this? And how do we translate that into an ROI and, you know, capturing all this data? And I really believe podcasting is almost in a similar place, right? The podcast industry data is sort of disparate, right? It's a little piecemeal for people to put together and figure it out. And a lot of, you know, we have data privacy now that we, you know, wasn't necessarily part of the conversation, you know, over 20 years ago. And so in all of that, it really has my marketing brain going, right? And my business mind going. And on top of that, in working with so many different people on their shows, I've also seen behind the curtain of not just as a host, but as a podcast service professional. And the other piece of what I saw was an industry ripe for locking arms and working together in an industry that was inherently already very supportive of others in the industry, but there wasn't a trade organization. There wasn't an advocate for this industry. And so when Tracy, when you approached me with the Podcast Professionals Association, I was like, yeah, this is needed. And if not us, then who? So let's do it. And sometimes I say yes before I think about things, right? But, you know, but it has been a labor of love and really an organization that has grown out of, I think, what the beauty of the podcast industry is and that community and collaboration. And so, by the way, then getting to, I think, maybe the last part of the question, which is about the nonprofit piece, I think, you know, being a trade organization and a nonprofit helps to exemplify to everybody what this is about versus a lot of, you know, I think there have been fits and starts of something potentially similar that really didn't get off the ground. And I think the nonprofit piece is critical for that.
I completely agree. And I think from an entrepreneurial lesson per se perspective that we can pull out of that that's important is so Jen highlighted, first of all, how her podcast then evolved her into a thought leadership and subject matter expertise person in the industry. She's recognized as 40 under 40 in the podcasting space. As a result of that, we connected, we became, you know, colleagues, clients, friends, and then ultimately business partners. And I think what's really important from a thought perspective around when you're getting into any type of business partnership, it is something that you don't want to just jump right into. You do want to feel like that you have a good idea of the person that you're going to be working with. Do they have the same mission and values that you do? Do they have the same work ethic that you do? Do they have
1,000%.
The same? And one of the things that I've loved about our relationship as it's evolved is we were never planning on becoming business partners. We met cold strangers who I had a service that I provided that you needed, and you had then this amazing skill set that evolved and grew as my businesses grew, and you became a part of that. And then we worked together with other businesses as independent contractors, not necessarily business partners, but it all just naturally, organically grew. And I think that's just a fantastic example of trusting in the process and aligning with like-minded individuals. And then when the time is right and you feel like a business partnership is necessary, you don't feel like you're jumping off a cliff by 100%. Yourself. We are jumping off a cliff, but at least we're kind of like Thelma and Louise. We knew what we were getting right into when we did it.
Right. Well, I was going to say, because the only cliff I jumped off of was to say, yes, let's go down that road. You and I never jumped off a cliff, right? It was everything was step by step and in partnership and bringing other people with us. So by the time there was actually a definitive choice made, it wasn't just the two of us. And there, it was so clear that we weren't jumping off a cliff.
Yes, I love that. And I actually personally just love that you reminded me of that as well. Because when you're in it, sometimes you just don't necessarily feel that way. But you're right. Yeah. We created our partnership, then we expanded into a founder circle, and then we got a tremendous amount of positive feedback on what the industry was looking for, and then we opened it up for membership. So I would love to continue this conversation all day, every day, but I know that we are going to have to wrap soon. And before we do that, please let our audience know how they can get in touch with you, because you have so much wisdom to share and you share it in such a positive and wonderful way. So how can people get in touch with you, and absolutely, how can they find that podcast of yours?
Well, thank you. Thank you. First of all, we barely scratched the surface of wellness and food choices and all of those kinds of things, because it really is about the lifestyle, not the one meal or the restaurants or whatever. So definitely check out Salad with a Side of Fries, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, wherever you can get your podcasts, you will find Salad with a Side of Fries. And my website is asaladwithasideoffries.com. On that website, there is a freebie that you can download called It's Not What to Eat, It's How to Eat. So if you heard that and said before about protein and fiber and said, well, where are the French fries and where's my dessert? You want that download, because it is about how to eat all of those other things and fit them in.
Love it. And of course, you can get re-listen to this episode, get all that information in the show notes with the Ask Brian, the podcast version. And that too, you can find on all your favorite listening platforms. And we're just so excited that we've had you here today, Jen. And we just feel like that you're welcome back on the Ask Brian Radio Show anytime. Peter?
Thank you.
So we have about 30 seconds left before we're going to have to cut out. So I just want to share what I do on desserts. I love desserts. And what I do is I order them, I take two bites, and say, that's it. I'm done. That's how I do it. So I can
Great.
Eat anything I want.
I can't do that. I can't. That's Peter. That's why we're not friends.
Well, and by the way, stay away from ice cream, because, you know, taking two bites is tough. And you can't bring it back. All right. So unfortunately, the show is kind of reaching its end. So you can listen to it on the podcast version. You're listening to the Ask Brian Radio Show on KHS 1220 and 98.1 FM. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Tracy. And until next week, over and out.
Thank you for tuning in to the Ask Brian Radio Show. You can listen to us every Thursday on KTHS AM 1220 and FM 98.1, or via Facebook Live, or anytime wherever you listen to your podcasts. Visit AskBrian.com to join the conversation and ask us your business questions, and we'll answer them on our next episode. That's AskBrian.com.